the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Here's a wonderful verse for today. It's not from Exodus, the book that we're in, but 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7 says this, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Kind of reminds me of the New Testament verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Well, with those scriptures, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. This is Exploring the Word. And Bert, it's a blessing to be on the American Family Radio Network, isn't it?
It really is, and it's good to have you. Jeff Chamblee, he's substituted, pinch-hitted yesterday, did a great job. But we always miss you, Alex, and praise the Lord, you got there safely, and it took longer than you thought, but God is good, isn't he?
Amen. I was stuck in the airport for all day yesterday, and you know, the way, if I'm traveling, and I'm, you know, hoping I'll get where I need to be, and I can be on the radio, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, and so forth, but there comes a time when I realize that the airlines are late, and I make that call to Brent Austin, and I said, "Brother, I repent, but I'm stuck in an airport." But thanks to Jeff Chamblee, you know, we're so blessed to have people like Jeff to fill in and Jim Stanley. And I'm praying for Jim, and we've got a lot of prayer requests that we'll get to later on in the day, because Tuesday we kind of devote to prayer. And let me say this, and we'll refer to Exodus, but coming up real soon in the month of May is the National Day of Prayer. And Bert, I just believe that one of the secrets to revival in America and really being all that we are to be as a country and as a church and as individuals is through prayer, isn't it?
It really is. And I'm just tell you, without prayer, we're not going to have it. But when God's people who are called by my name, by his name, will humble themselves and pray, seeking his face, turning from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven. And Alex, I praise God that we got a prayer time. This happened last year when it was time, some lady, and I cannot remember who, called in, great lady, and said, "I think we need to pray every Tuesday before Election Day and just say, 'God, we want your will to be done.'" And people started praying, and after it was through, we had people say, "Why don't you keep on praying on Tuesday?" And yes. I've got it written on my calendar, because if I don't have it written down, man, it can be missed. So we're writing it down. So have your prayer request ready. We want to do that. It's not something that we have to do. It's something we get to do. But before that, let's jump into Exodus chapter 34. And we start with verse 18 about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so in these next few verses, you're going to get a lot of information, 6 days working, the plowing, the firstborn, and everything, but it is always remembering what God has done and setting ourselves apart for him, Alex. Any feast day or any of those special three feasts that God introduced to them, they always had the idea of submitting to the Lord, putting him first, and let him have his way in our lives financially, where we are in social, every way. God needs to have his way in our hearts and our lives, doesn't he?
Well, amen, amen. And you know, leaven in the Bible, I'm sure this is no surprise to everybody, but leaven represents sin. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I've commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib or Abib, I'm not sure, A-B-I-B. For in the month of Abib thou came out of Egypt. And you know what, Bert, it's been said that the deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt is in many ways pictorial of our deliverance out of the bondage of sin.
Amen. And the blood applied over there, the blood applied and washes our sins away. It is so. I agree with you, Alex, and it is a picture of what Christ would do. And people that's just got through with Passover and then Easter, And they've talked about that and how important it is that Jesus is that Passover lamb. He really was, but he was the perfect sacrifice. Didn't need any more after him, did we?
Well, that's true. And, you know, the lengthy, very in-depth restatement of the Ten Commandments is in, you know, chapter 34, about not having an idol. And by the way, in verse 17, when it says, "Thou shalt make thee no molten gods," you know, the Ten Commandments say no idols or graven image. And when I read about a molten god, it kind of reminds me of Aaron. Yeah. You know, we were back in 32 and 33 where they made that molten calf. We're not to worship any handmade human idol. But it goes on and it talks about the dedication of firstborn to God and your firstborn sons. Bert, as a pastor, have you led any baby dedication services?
Oh, yes. Many times, yes.
Yeah, myself as well. And in a way, it's really the dedication of the parents, you might say.
And I would throw in the church, too. A lot of times I'd say, okay, they're doing this before the church, and we want the parents, and we support them, we pray for them, and we lift them up, and we want to be an example, along with their parents, to these kids to love the Lord God with all their heart. So, Alex, I think that's really valuable for a family and a church to do that.
Indeed, and not only the parents, but the church, because what we're saying, and I think this is really important for grown-ups to think of, is that as a larger neighborhood or community, and certainly the community of faith, we're going to do everything prayerfully and humanly possible to make it conducive for this child to come to the realization of Jesus and give their life to Christ.
Amen.
I'm just going to say this, and I want to get back to Exodus 34. You know, we often hear of Damascus Road-type testimonies and people, you know, that are very far from the Lord and in the gutter, and they come to Christ, and that's wonderful. But I want to tell you what I love to hear. I love it when people share a testimony, and they'll say, you know, "I grew up in a Christian family, and I was all around godly, consistent grown-ups, and I don't even remember a time when I wasn't walking with Jesus." I love that kind of testimony,
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen. And it is a great testimony. And those of you that are listening that are younger, you may be in the back seat of your mom or dad's car, your grandparents, as they've picked you up. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, set your face toward him. Walk with him. I want to just tell you, he's the best friend that you could ever have. And so stay with Jesus all the way. Alex, you come not only the firstborn, but the weak, and your work is his. Look in verse 21, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. And it gives that whole idea. You're talking about the Ten Commandments. Here it is. And it's the idea of work and the idea of rest. God has those. And even in the feast days, there's this attitude of some rest, coming aside and you know, getting out of your routine and let yourself be renewed in the Lord. All these feast days, I think, has the idea of doing that, to interrupt your regular schedule and get by the Lord. He reminds you of certain things, doing certain things. And even in the week, on that day, here it is the seventh day. Ours is the first day of the week as we love the Lord God. Get out of your regular routine and worship the Lord and rest in him. We need that.
Well, let me say this, and everybody just put on your thinking cap here. In Exodus 34:22, and this is also found in Leviticus 13:15 and following, okay, you've got Passover, then Shavuot, or S-H-A-V-U-O-T. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But the feast of Passover and then of unleavened bread represents salvation and deliverance from sin. But now, 50 days after Passover was the Feast of Weeks, which is very much pictorial of Pentecost. Now, there's in your personal life, think about this, and Bert, you feel free to chime in, but look, you get saved, and then in addition to walking with the Lord, you're to walk with the body of Christ and be a part of the church. And just like the Feast of Unleavened Bread is very pictorial, because it says right here that out of verse 18, this is when you came out of Egypt. All right, God saves you, and you're delivered from the penalty of sin. Sanctification, you're delivered increasingly from the power of sin, and you're to be a part of the church. Well, 50 days later was the Feast of Weeks, which is very much like Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection was Pentecost and the birth of the church. And we, if you're a born-again believer, you are part of the church, and you're to be a part of a local church. But my point is, in all these feasts of the ancient Israelites, I really see the gospel and the church age.
You can see that. I don't think they knew that then. They knew it was special. They knew it was set aside. But God always has a plan. He has a purpose, always. And you see that, and you develop it. We don't always know exactly what his complete plan is. We know his purpose for our lives. He knows we want to serve him. But in the ins and outs of life, we have to live, and we walk by faith. And here, they were, if they obeyed this, they obeyed it by faith. And yet, when Christ would come along, I think the pieces fit together really well, Alex, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end, three times in the year, all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. This is what we're talking about. This is so important that you come aside and from what you do in a routine and see what God has done. You appear before him. You appear before him for accountability. You appear before him for counsel, for encouragement, for challenge. So appearing before God has several advantages, Alex, to the man, the woman that would walk with God. These are advantages for the children of Israel, not disadvantages, brother.
Mm-hmm. And they're told to observe the Feast of Weeks, a first fruits of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. Now, verse 23, three times in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Bert, I think the multiple times, just like you may have heard in some of the more high church, there's the liturgical calendar, which, you know, I think those things can be good. I know as a pastor, and you've done that too, I mean, you've got Christmas, and then maybe a watch night service in the new year, and then early in the year, you've got an emphasis, and there's so many things that we do throughout the year, Father's Day and Mother's Day and graduation and baby dedications, and these things multiple times throughout the year are reminders, aren't they? Not only for the children, but for people of all ages. And I want to throw out a word here, which is context. Context is understanding who you are and where you are. And I think that's important for Christians, that we have a purpose. We're not just careening aimlessly through life. We're on mission with God and for God, aren't we?
We are, and that's what we want you to know. We want you to know him, serve him. And I want to just tell you, when this happens in our lives, blessings will come our way. We'll be back with more in Exodus right after the break.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Amen, amen. Alex, that song reminds me of a story I heard of a Dr. Savage. He was a pastor He was connected with Union University up in Jackson, Tennessee, which is close by here in northeast Mississippi. And he got where he couldn't get out of bed, but he could fall out of bed and get on his knees and pray. When he couldn't do anything else, preaching, planting churches, teaching classes, he could pray, and he really did have calluses on his knees praying. And so, listen, don't stop praying, and we're going to do that in the last segment. That number, it's the lines are not open, but put it in your phone or write it down, 888-589-8840. We take prayer requests first. This is what we do. Now, you can ask a question, but if we have prayer time, we take those first. And so we appreciate all of you because we want this to be a time of worshiping the Lord and praying for one another and seeking the Lord. That's part of worship. Alex, we come to this. Let me read verses 27 and 28. If you want to go back and bring the others up to it, but I wanted to get this in because this is so awesome. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now notice the last phrase, if you're keeping up with your Bible. It says that Moses is to write some of the things down. I've made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Now the Lord said to Moses, write these words down. But when it came to the tablets and the covenant of the Ten Commandments, it says he, and the word in the English language, it's capitalized. God wrote the tablets on the tablets of the covenant of Ten Commandments. I love this interchange, okay? Here's the broad picture. Here's the Ten Commandments on the tablets. This is a covenant I'm making with you. But you write this down, Moses, because you're a part of this as well, and you're going to share it with the people I'm making this covenant with. I love the interchange that God brings about with Moses in the responsibility of sharing with the people what God has said. Do you catch what I'm trying to get across?
Amen. Well, the people were called out to be a sanctified, set apart, different people. And, you know, Bert, let me just say this. As a Christian, if you follow the Lord and you follow his word, invariably you're going to be different from the world.
Amen.
You know? Now, and some of this might sound unusual. You know, for example, as God has given them instructions about the sacrifices, and again, Jesus is the full and final sacrifice, and in a way, all of these, the intricacies of the Mosaic Law, the sacrifices and the feast, and it might seem really burdensome. And I guess to a degree it was. And that's why I would think it would be very appealing that Jesus, the final sacrifice, we put our faith in him, and the rabbinical laws we don't have to follow anymore because Jesus, it all consummated and was fulfilled in Jesus. I would think it would be very, very desirous to trust Jesus. I mean, the whole of the Mosaic Law is fulfilled in Christ, and his righteousness is yours the minute you believe in him. I mean, you know, what's not to like, you know?
Amen.
But
say this. That's why Hebrews says it's so much better. The first few chapters of Hebrews, he's better than the law. He's better than the prophets. He's better, and that's Christ Jesus. It just goes along with what you just said. Go ahead, Alex.
Right. Verse 25, this might seem unusual. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Okay, so you don't mix what is holy and what is pagan. Just like, and we use the word a week ago, syncretism. I mean, you don't mix false religion with the true gospel. And so now, here's something that's going to sound unusual. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto mourning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe or boil a goat in his mother's milk. And you, to our modern ears, we're thinking, what? Okay, it's been theorized that goats, first of all, goats never really represent holiness. You know, they're the sheep and the goats. And it's believed that in the ancient world, goats and milk represented some kind of fertility religion or something like that. So a goat sacrifice was not to be boiled in its mother's milk. And at the very least, you know, scholars have tried to understand what might have been the implications behind this. Well, for one thing, this is different. There's a separation and a sanctification. The mother would nurse the baby goat, and that was life and nourishment. And they were not to be boiled together. I know this sounds weird, but there's to be a separation, and a separation from sin, from the world, from false religion. And also, frankly, Bert, I think we're supposed to obey God and His directives whether we fully understand it or not.
Amen. I agree with you. Notice, you know, yeah, it's exactly. There's do's and don'ts. Notice how these balance each other out. You to do this, bring the first fruits, but don't boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And why does that do? That's what we do. There's some things that we are to do. There's some things that we're not to do. And that's life, you know. And if we obey God, the blessings will come. And so these are written down by Moses, and then God writes the Ten Commandments on the tablets. If you remember, God told him in chapter 34, verse 1, to cut out two tablets and bring them to the top of the mountain. And this is what Moses does in obedience to the Lord. He does this. This is a renewal of the covenant. This sounds similar to what he had done earlier. Yes, it is. And here God renews that covenant after the children of Israel had rebelled, worshiped that molten calf that Alex mm-hmm. was referring to earlier that Aaron had made. And so here we find out that God says, listen, I want you as my people. Remember, Moses was the intercessor and saying, oh, God, no, don't start over with me. You want to stay with these people. They are rebellious people. They're stiff-necked. They're stubborn. But God, do your work in them. And God was doing his work. He gave them these directions, and then he gave the Ten Commandments. Alex, the covenant is renewed. And what a powerful tool this is. And he goes back down. Notice verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hands, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Listen, now here it is. Who did notice? Other people noticed, didn't they? Or is people going to notice when we've spent time with God?
Oh, they should notice. You know, the people recognized that the disciples had been with Jesus.
That's
right. And,
you
know, herein is an interesting thing. Moses, for instance, in the Middle Ages, Michelangelo and different ones would either paint or sculpt Moses with what looked like horns. And there are pictures of Moses, and of course, people might think, wait, what in the world? Horns. But I want to say something here in verse 34 and 35. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spoke unto the children of Israel that were which he was commanded. And the children of Israel, verse 35, saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. In other words, it was radiant. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. Okay, the wording here says that after Moses had been in the presence of the Lord, he emitted rays, or it's radiant. And there were some of the old lexicons, they translated rays, R-A-Y-S, like a ray of light. We've often seen the sunbeams come from behind the clouds. Well, sometimes it was translated horns, not like horns on an animal or not like the devil's horns, obviously, but it meant emitting rays of light. Moses just glowed. And some of the, you know, in the Middle Ages, there were paintings of Moses and sculptures with two horns coming out of his head. It didn't mean anything evil. What it was actually a less than ideal translation of rays, beams of light just came off of his countenance because he had been with the Lord. Here's the thing, like you said, Bert, when we have Jesus and we're walking with Jesus, and maybe we've communed with God deeply and the Holy Spirit is just in control, people should notice it.
Amen. And here we find out Moses returns. He shares with the people what God has said. And again, that veil. Now, why did he put it on that veil over his face? Well, it would fade. And we find that over in the New Testament. We didn't say it here, but Paul brings it out. And then Moses, chapter 35, gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do." Now, then he starts sharing, 6 days, seventh day you will rest. And whoever doesn't do that, be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing the Lord commanded, saying." He'd say that, but I want to get to verse 5. "Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart." Now, what I did, Alex, and you know I'm looking for repeated words, in verse chapter 35 all the way through and even over into chapter 36, you'll find that command, a willing heart, a willing heart. Listen, that's the kind of heart we need anywhere, anything, anytime, Lord, I'm willing. I remember being at a summer camp down in Ringgold, Louisiana. It was the Bible Memory Association. We'd memorize 99 verses in the spring of the year. And if you did that, you could go to camp. And Jan and I had done that. We were part of a youth that would do that, and we would go. And I remember the preacher preaching and using those words, anything, anytime, anywhere, Lord, I'm willing. And he challenged all of us young people, would you write that in the back of your Bible, and would you say, Lord, I'm willing, and then sign your name and date it? I remember doing that, Alex, and a willing heart. And that's what we want everyone who's listening. Do you have a willing heart to say, Lord, anywhere, anything, anytime, here I am, I'm willing. So the Lord, Alex, here it is. I love that. If you have a willing heart. Now, I'm going to jump ahead real quick here, if you don't mind, in 36, and then you can come back. They had a willing heart so much that in chapter 36, verse 7, after they took up the offering, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed, too much. Lord, isn't that amazing? They had a willing heart, and they put it into practice by giving what God had asked them to give.
Well, yes, and let me just for a second talk about in verse, 4 and 5, Moses spoke unto the congregation of the children of Israel. This is the thing which the Lord commanded. Bert, the word there for command, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's T-S-A-V-A-H, however you pronounce that. Maybe it's Sava, maybe the T is silent, I'm not sure. Here's the thing, the Lord commanded. This word appears 493 times in the Old Testament, right? And we know what a command is. It's a directive or an assignment. But there's two things that are worth pointing out. For one, it means the things the Lord has, quote, set in order. And I don't think it's hard for people to understand. I mean, when we live by God's ways, life and society is very orderly. Right now, our nation is somewhat disorderly. In fact, lawlessness is a word. Bert, we did this about a year ago. From 21 to 24, the word lawless appeared in news coverage. The usage of the word lawless or lawlessness went up like 1,000%. People looking around our country saying we've become lawless. So when it says, you know, over and over, Moses would say, These are the things the Lord commanded. The word for commandment or commanded means to set in order. But you know what it also means? And folks, think about, you know, God has laid down the moral code, the Ten Commandments. God has laid down his statutes, his teachings, his precepts. But the word commandment means the path. Hey, if you've ever been on a hike, you don't want to get off the path.
Yeah.
You get lost in the woods. And Bert, socially, morally, spiritually, there is a path God has laid out. It might seem to be the narrow path, but it's the right path because it's God's roadmap for life, isn't it?
Amen. The journey. Listen, we follow him, his path. Amen, Alex. Good word study. Real quickly, when you read this, and we'll get through verse 9, you see the list of the things there to take. What is it? An offering to build the tabernacle. This mm-hmm. is what I need. They had it. They took it up. And then in verse 10, just to introduce this, and all who are skillful among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. There's that word again. He commanded to get the offering, the materials, and now his commandment is to do the work and make them. This is what we're still to do. Obey the Lord all the way. Prayer request time. The number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Did you hear that lyric, everybody? Don't stop believing because mountains move with just a little faith. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. And we're taking prayer requests and some Bible questions, too. The number is 888-589-8840. And Bert, by way of prayer request, I would ask people to pray for our speaker series coming up May 4th. We start with Dinesh D'Souza in Myrtle Beach. We call this Conversations That Matter. All through the summer, we're going to have great speakers like Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages. But please do pray. We want to get started really strong May 4th. So that's a week from this upcoming Sunday. And if you happen to be in the area of Myrtle Beach, a wonderful beach town, we're going to be at a wonderful theater, and we're going to hear a powerful, powerful speaker, Dinesh D'Souza. Complete info is at my website, alexmcfarland.com.
Amen. We want to pray for that, and we're asking God just to bless all of those speaker series. Well, again, that number, 888-589-8840, and we're going to go to William in Illinois. William, thank you for calling.
Good day to you, brothers. I've been giving thought about this demoniac at Kedera, I guess they called it. Like Paul said, his body, he considered it a tent before he died. How in the world, it's unbelievable to me how a whole legion of demons could be in a man and then turn around and enter a whole herd of unclean swine. I just like your comment on this. And people playing with this demonic activity today, I don't think they know what they're doing.
You're right, William. They do not know how hazardous it could be even to give an inch to anything of the occultic, of Satan. What is it, Alex? Give him an inch and he'll take a mile. He really will, won't he?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, there's the physical body, which is mass and matter, but Bert, the spirit and the soul is, well, it's spirit. And just as in with schizophrenia, where people can have multiple personalities, I mean, it's hard to think of the torture that it would be. But this man, this is in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, the demoniac had a legion of demons in him. And Bert, you know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Can you imagine the torture of having those demons? And by the way, I'm just going to say this, that I think some of what is considered mental illness nowadays, not all, but some split personality and, you know, OCD-ism to the extreme might be of demonic influence. But, you know, Jesus, all he had to do was command them to leave that demon-possessed man, and that man was delivered.
Amen.
That's the power of Jesus over Satan.
And the more you open yourself up, the more Satan will take. You open up a little territory, he'll occupy that. But listen, he is not satisfied. He's never satisfied. And he came to what? Kill, steal, destroy. So that's his whole option. Those 1,000 in him, yes. You give room, he'll take it. And so the best way to do it is follow Christ, stay with Christ, stay in his word. Don't give Satan a foothold. Let's go to Kentucky. Jacob, thank you for calling.
How are you doing, Brother Bert?
Doing well, man. How can we pray for you today, brother?
Hey, I was just wanting you and Alex to keep me and my family in prayer for this week.
Well, we will do it.
Sure.
Anything specific? We don't have to. Just say, pray for us. Anything specific?
I just would like you all to pray for us.
We'll do it. We'll do it.
Absolutely.
While we're doing that, we're going to pray for Jacob, but also Matthew. And this is on Facebook and has a daughter and that is given over to live a homosexual lifestyle. She's talented, beautiful, and she needs to walk away and look to Christ. So we're praying for that to happen. We're praying for Matthew's daughter. Her name is Jessica. And so, Alex, could you pray for Jacob's family? I can tell he has a burdened heart. And everybody write this down and then pray for Jessica that she'd be delivered from this lifestyle. Alex, go ahead.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we unite our hearts and minds and we pray for these needs. And no doubt there are just so many other needs out there. But for Jacob, Lord, bless this listener. And he kind of sounds like he's got some things weighing on his mind. And Lord, Matthew 6 verse 8 says that you know what we need even before we ask. So we lift up his family to you, Lord, and we pray that you'll intervene. And Lord, I pray for this person, Jessica, Lord, like so many others that have been deceived and ensnared, no matter the sexual immorality, homosexuality, so many deviant lifestyles. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for deliverance, conviction, your leading to a life of purity and morality. And Lord, I know that Mark 9:26 says some things are only achieved through prayer and fasting. Lord, maybe those listening, they've got a loved one caught up in sexual sin, homosexuality, and other things. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give deliverance. And Lord, may people everywhere get saved, and may your church be sanctified. We've been called to holiness. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, may that be how we all live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Jacob, we're praying for you. Matthew, if you're listening, we are praying for your daughter. Let's go to Mississippi, and it's Jason. Jason, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I would like prayer for my mother, Bobby Rawls. She is in a lot of pain with her back, and she's going to have a nerve stimulator put in tomorrow.
Okay. We'll do that. Write her name down.
Bobby Rawls.
Rawls, write it down. While we're there, and let's go to another prayer request. That way we combine some of them. And this was pray for Alexis, son of Easton and Wesson. And pray for Alexis and sons Easton and Weston. I think I got that down. And then let's go to North Carolina. Sandra, I know you have a prayer request. Would you share it?
Oh, I'm in a lot of pain, but I need prayer for my son. He thinks me and his daddy is overthinking and not considering the Lord. He gets in trouble, and he expects us to get him out.
Oh, me. Yeah. Mm. Listen, that is hard to deal with, to watch your children in pain to learn. It's tough and hard, but we're going to pray. Let's pray now. Alex, I'll lead us, if that's all right. Father, I thank you that we can call upon you, and I'm praying right now for all of these that have called in, that have said, we need prayer for my son. Father, we need prayer for all of those that are hurting and about to have a mother that's having to have, she's in pain, have to have in surgery. And Father, we know you know their situation. You know exactly what their need is. And Father, sometimes these physical needs that we see are, we don't necessarily know what's going on the inside, but you do. There's nothing hidden from you. And we trust you, God. We know you love them even more than we do, even more than the parents do. And God, I pray that you do that work. We trust you. We ask you to bring people into their lives that would help them, that would strengthen them, that would also challenge them to turn away from sin and turn to you. And for those that are hurting, that they would find some relief in you, Father. Sometimes we're like Paul. You got a thorn in the flesh and we have to live with it, but your grace is sufficient, Father. Yes. And I pray that it would be in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kansas, and it's Genevieve. Genevieve, thank you for calling.
Yes, I like prayer for my son Jeff and his wife Fed. They both need the Lord. And Jeff has a drinking problem. He is a functioning alcoholic, but he really needs help to have a desire to stop.
Okay. Mm. What's the daughter-in-law's name again, Genevieve?
Van. Jeff and Van.
Okay. And yes. We got one. Hold that up again, Brent. We want Nancy. She's praying. Has a chronic nerve pain. See, we have folks that's calling, letting us know on Facebook, and we appreciate that. Jeff, pray for him, Van, and then pray for this one. Alex, would you mind leading us in this prayer, brother?
Yes, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're the Savior, you are the healer, the deliverer, and Lord, we pray for people everywhere for your Holy Spirit to just pour out throughout this land. And some have physical infirmities, they're in pain. Lord, we pray for your mercy and your intervention. And then specifically, Lord, we pray for Jeff and Van. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this couple. Number one, that they would desire you and that they would thoroughly, completely receive you into their life as Savior and Lord. And I pray for this man, Jeff, that you would deliver him from alcohol and drunkenness. And Lord, in Jesus' name, that the chains would be broken, that the desire for this would be broken. Lord, just the using alcohol would become abhorrent to him, and he would want to be sober. And for Van, the wife, and Lord, again, that they would be saved, that they would become what you desire them to be, because that is your plan, life and health and peace. And Lord, let the prayers of this dear mother be realized and answered as you bring Jeff and Van to yourself. And so many more needs, spiritual and physical, we lift them up to you, and we thank you in advance for the result, because Lord, you do all things well. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Well, let's go to Kentucky and Steve. Steve, thank you for holding, but go right ahead, man.
Hey, Bert. Hey, Alex. I love listening to you guys every afternoon. I just have two comments. Alex, I'm not correcting you. I was born Jewish, and I had to go 5 years to rabbinic school to be bar mitzvahed. Okay. And I didn't want to go as a kid, and I asked my father if I could not go, and he said, no, you'll thank me one day. But I did learn Hebrew. So what you're referring to, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, is pronounced Shavuot. Shavuot.
Thank you.
Shavuot.
Shavuot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the giving of the law And then 1,500 years later, on exactly the same day, Pentecost occurred and the Holy Spirit was given.
Praise God. See, thank you. I am deeply grateful to learn this. Thank you for sharing this.
Amen. Listen, Steve, you better be glad that it was Alex that tried to enunciate it correctly rather than me. I am terrible at that. God has a sense of humor, Alex, when he calls certain people. Now, again, and I love the Lord, but enunciating words sometimes is always a challenge for me.
Hey, here's the thing. We Southern boys, it's challenging enough to correctly pronounce English words, much less Hebrew words. Am I right, Bert?
You're right. I like those one-syllable names. So, you know, but anyway, hey, Steve, we mean it with all of our heart, brother. Thank you. And I pray it. Thank your dad made you go.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Arkansas. Nancy, thank you for calling.
Yes, I do have a question, please, sir. And yes. I just love y'all's program. I learned so much from it. When Christ was put into the tomb, we know that he rose on the third day. But did he not raise maybe on a Saturday, go down to Sheol and loose the people who were down there?
Okay. Alex, what does it mean? He preached to those in captivity?
Mm-hmm. He did. After Jesus died on the cross, but before the physical resurrection Sunday morning, in the spirit realm, it was a busy weekend, wasn't it?
It really was.
The Bible tells us he appeared before the Father in heaven. Then, and by the way, this is in Psalm 64 and Ephesians chapter 6, he preached to the spirits in prison. And you and I, we wrote about this in our first book of 100 Bible Questions and Answers. But long story short, prior to the resurrection, there was in the realm of the dead, there was two areas or compartments, if you will. One was called Abraham's bosom or paradise, and the other was Hades, the hell that the unbelieving dead. So to the, it says he led captivity captive, from paradise, the believing saints of the Old Testament were taken to heaven. There was a proclamation of victory, salvation. But to the lost, like the unsaved man of Luke 16, there was the proclamation of condemnation. He preached to the spirits in prison. And so when he rose on Sunday morning, I believe throughout the weekend, let me just say this, and Bert, you feel free to disagree, his physical body, the corpse of Christ, was dead in the tomb. I think his body resurrected in a glorified state Sunday morning.
Yes.
You know, and that, and the stone was rolled away. As the song says, death could not hold his prey. He tore the bars away. Up from the grave he arose.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, Nancy, thank you for that. We hope that helps. Hosea, we're not going to have time for you to share your question. I'm reading it, Alex, and it's a simple question. He's not have time to put all the commentary. Is the devil a man or a woman?
The devil is an angel. That angels are neither male nor female, the Bible says. I think he masquerades as either or both, and then androgynous, a mixture of. But angels are, they don't have the gender of male or female.
And that's what he says about who that woman that married seven brothers fictitiously, who will be her husband, neither marriage nor given in marriage in heaven. Yeah. Alex, it's been good to be with you, brother.
Well, we'll be back again tomorrow, folks. Blessings to you, and thank you for listening to Exploring the Word at the American Family Radio Network, where there is great godly programming all day long. Hey, we always say this, tell somebody about American Family Radio, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.